It says in verse 12 of 2 Samuel 15, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, 'The hearts of men, of the men of Israel, are after Absalom.' And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword.'" So from verses 12 to 14, we find that David's son Absalom is conspiring against him, trying to take over the kingdom. When someone's conspiring against a man after God's own heart, that's not a good idea. We see that even though it's a man after God's own heart, Absalom, the people begin to love Absalom. Earlier in the chapter, it says that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom was popular. People liked Absalom. People were following Absalom. And David realizes that he might not be able to win this one. So he says in verse 14, "We need to get out of here. We need to do what we're going to do. If we have to," he says, "smite the city with the edge of the sword, we need to get out of here." Verse 15 is where we'll take our text. Verse 15 says, "And the king's servants said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.'" Those servants could very well have had their hearts stolen from Absalom as well. They could have thought Absalom was awesome too, but they didn't. These servants realized who their master was. They realized and knew who they worked for, who was their boss, and who was their king. And they said in verse 15, I'll read it again, "And the king's servants said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.'" They were ready to do whatever he asked them to do. Ready. So the question tonight, folks, for Loomis Park Baptist Church and for myself is, are you ready? Are you ready? I ask you once again to please bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, I ask you to give me strength tonight. I ask you to give me your power from on high. Please, Lord. Lord, you know that I haven't had much time to prepare, but you know best, and you're above all these notes and all these, this pen and this paper and all this, God. You're above all that. I ask you to please give me power tonight, strength and unction from on high. Lord, I need your help. I know that I'm nothing without you. Your precious and holy name. Amen. Are you ready? I think 85% of a husband's job or a husband's duties are waiting for his wife to get ready for something. I hope you guys that have been married for 50 plus years know what I'm talking about. But it seems like, and that's not a true statistic, believe me, it's not. But it feels like we're always waiting for our wives to get ready, whether it's with makeup or what to wear, or I don't know what they could be doing. Maybe they're working on math problems. That's why it's taking so long. I'm not sure. But it seems like most of the time we're waiting for them to get ready. I know, I wouldn't doubt that a high percentage of arguments between a husband and wife are getting ready for church, trying to get there on time. And even with living 3 seconds away from the church, I still find it hard for both of us to get ready at the same time. And getting ready is an important part. I know as a kid, I hated getting ready for school, but my mom really wanted me to get ready for school on time so we could be out the door. We're always getting ready for something. We're always needing to be ready for something. And these servants in this passage were ready to do whatever David wanted them to do. They said, "David, King, whatever you want us to do, although everybody else has left you, although everybody else has followed after Absalom, we are still ready to do whatever you want us to do." Wow. The definition of the word ready from the Webster's Dictionary is simply this: ready, being prepared mentally or physically for some experience or action. Second definition says, prepared for immediate use. This one I like a lot. Willingly disposed. Willingly disposed. I have to ask myself, am I willingly disposed for the cause of Christ? Am I ready to do whatever God wants me to do? And that's the question tonight. Quickly, we're going to go over 4 ways that we need to be ready for our King. 4 ways that we need to be ready for our King. Are we ready? Are you ready? Number 1, I believe that we need to be ready to go. ready to go. The Bible commands us many times. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Are you ready to go? Am I ready to go? Because God, our King, has commanded us to go. Are we ready to go? We need to be ready to go. That's why we have Saturday soul winning, so that you can go. That's why we have a track rack filled with tracks every single time, so that you can take those and go out and tell. Are we ready to go? You say, Pastor Donald, it seems like every time you preach, you just beat that dead horse about soul winning. You keep mentioning it every time, and you know why I mention it? Because it needs to be mentioned. If more people were out, if more people were coming, I wouldn't have to mention it as much. But we mention it because it's needed. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. People are dying and going to hell, and I know you've heard that 1,000 times, but it's still true that people are dying. People are going to hell, not just in other countries, but here in this city, maybe even your neighbor. Are we ready to go? People have no hope. People have no peace, and this is what can give them that hope. This is what can give them that peace. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, God can give that hope, but we need to deliver it. We need to deliver it. Are you ready to go? Ready to go. Number one, ready to go. Another way we need to be ready for our King. Secondly, we need to be ready, not only to go, but ready to stay. Ready to stay. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 6 with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. Ready to stay. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I'll read it. If you're not there, please listen. Jeremiah 6, 16 says, thus saith the Lord. And if any verse starts off with that, I know it's going to be a good one. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. We need to stay with what works. Staying with the old path. Staying with the King James version of the Bible. Staying with the old hymns. And staying with door-to-door soul winning. And staying with the bus ministry. Things that work. Things that have worked. We need to stay with the old path. But so many churches nowadays are doing exactly what it says at the end of verse 16, which says, walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Man, I'm thankful for a church that is stuck with the old paths. I'm thankful for being able to grow up in several churches that stuck and stayed with the old ways. They were ready to stay. They stayed with what worked. They stayed with what was right, what was holy. Staying. Ready to stay. Not only staying with what works, but also staying in God's house. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Staying in God's house, being faithful to the house of God is something that we need to be ready to constantly do. Being ready to do that. Ready to be in God's house. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Being in God's house, we need to be here. We need to be here. There's be in the place that God's placed you. If you're living in this city or in the surrounding areas and this is your church, then be here when the doors are open. Be here. Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Being in God's house. The place where you are is where God wants you to serve Him. The place where you are is where God wants you to serve Him. Oh, don't forget that, dear folks. Ready to stay. Not with just with what works or staying in God's house. We'll move on. Ready to go. Ready to stay. And then also underneath, ready to stay. Staying with your pastor. Staying with your pastor. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. If there's any man of God that I know who labors in the word and doctrine, it is Pastor Rich Zawadzki, who studies and knows his Bible. And you ask him any question, and he has a verse to back it up. Counted worthy of double honor. Oh, stay with your pastor. Support your preacher. And I know you do, but support your preacher. Amen him when he's preaching. Let him know that you're listening. Let him know that you understand what he's saying. Let him know that you support him. Show him you appreciate him. And I know you folks do. Show him you appreciate him and his wife and his kids. Show them that you appreciate and you love them and you understand what they go through and you understand what they do and show him how much you love him. Stay with your pastor. Oh, I know that this church does that with everything. I mean, with his office, and he says this all the time, oh, you dear folks, and he always says, you've given me our house and my salary, and he always, and I know you folks do that, but going the extra mile is what I'm talking about. Staying with your pastor, encouraging him, and especially in a time like this. And folks, I had no idea what was going to happen when I prepared this message. This is ordained of the Lord. Support your pastor. Stay with your pastor. Follow your pastor. And I know you folks will. I know you do. But continue to do it. Oh, dear folks, I beg you, stay. Ready to stay with what works. Stay with in God's house and staying with your pastor. Number three, ready to go, ready to stay. Number three, ready to live. Ready to live. We need to be ready to live. The book of Romans chapter 12, I'll turn there. You don't have to turn this. Listen, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Ready to live. Folks, just live for God. Just live for God. Many of you have lived for God your entire lives. And I'm preaching to not only the teenagers, but to the whole crowd. Living for God is the best thing you can do with your life. Ready to live. Be holy. Do right. Oh, being ready to live. Folks, we need to be holy. We need to do right. The Bible says, be holy there, for I am holy. Oh, holy God's commanding us to do right and be holy. We need to be ready to live. Christianity is not just, it's not a spectator sport. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just something we can watch and say, oh, it's great to see all these people serving God. No, we need to get out there ourselves and serve God. It's not a spectator sport. You don't want to be sitting on the bench. You want to be in the game. You want to be scoring goals. You want to be part of it. Oh, just being ready to live for God. Get out there and live for God. You say, well, Pastor Donald, I'm too young. I can't serve God right now. You know what? You can bring your friends to church like many of you do. That's living for God. You can be a good example at school. You can carry your Bible around school. You can tell your friends about Christ. You can be a good example at your house. You can be nice to your brothers and sisters. That's part of living for God. You can be in the Bible. You can be in prayer. You can be in God's house. That's living for God. You're never too young. You say, well, I'm too old. I've been doing it for so long. There's nothing else for me to do. No. You're never, never too old. There's no age limit on serving God. You can write letters or make phone calls or make visits. That's part of living for God and serving God. Being ready to live. Ready to live for God. Say, I'm too busy. Well, if you're too busy to serve God, you are much too busy. You are too busy than God ever intended you to be. Oh, I hope you hear that, folks. If you say, well, I can't do this, and I can't do this in the church, I can't do all that, and you have all these excuses of why you can't serve God, you're too busy than God ever wanted you to be. And that's the God's honest truth. Because God would never have you be too busy to serve Him. No, He wouldn't. Ready to live. Ready to live. You say, you have all these excuses of why you can't, too old, too young. Let me read you something real quick. The next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember and listen good. The next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember, Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and married the wrong girl. Rahab lived immorally. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was unfaithful and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached uncovered. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. No more excuses, folks.
No more excuses. God can use you to your full potential. Besides, listen to this, besides, you aren't the message. You're just the messenger. You're not the message. You're just the messenger. Being ready to live. Being ready to live. And lastly tonight, ready to go. Ready to stay. Ready to live. And lastly, ready to die. Ready to die. Philippians chapter 2, I'll read it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Ready to die to self. And realize it's not about me. It's not about Donald Savini. It's about others. It's about helping other people. It's about being a blessing to other people. It's not about me. I need to be ready to die to self. It's not about me. And folks, I hate to tell you this, but it's not about you either. It's not about you either, folks. Oh, please. The second we think we're something, oh, we're going to fall hard. The Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." The better you think of yourself, oh, the harder you're going to fall, folks. Just like if I had a bunch of books and I began to stack them up, the higher and higher that stack got, the more wobbly and tilting it would go. And finally, if I got higher and higher, it'd finally crash and burn. Oh, folks, it's about other people. It's about live your life for somebody else. Live your life for God, but live your life to help other people. Ready to die. But not only dying to self, but also ready to die, ready to face Jesus, to really stand before God one day, because the truth of the matter is, we will be judged on what we have done after salvation. One day we will stand before God. One day, whether it's now or whether it's 50 years down the road, one day I will stand before God, before the throne of God, responsible for the actions that I did after I was saved, to give an account. And will I be ready? Well, I have to face God with my head down, not looking forward to it. Oh, folks, I know that we all fail. I know that I fail. I'm so weak. I'm nothing. I know that. I know that I fail. But I want to get to heaven one day, and I want to be able to stand before God and know that I did my best to do what He wanted me to do. I want that. I want to be able to face Him, and even with a smile, like even knowing I failed, but knowing that I tried and that I got back up when I failed, and I didn't give up, and I didn't quit on God, but I kept going. And you should desire the same exact thing, wanting to stand before God, ready, ready, knowing you didn't quit on God, ready to die. I remember last Thursday, I took my wife out shopping for her birthday, and gentlemen, take notes on that. Especially you guys, you probably taught me, those who've been married for so many years. You've probably been taking your wife shopping for 30, 40, 50 years. You're probably broke. So I can look forward to that. But I took my wife out shopping for her. Took her out to dinner for a birthday, surprised her, bought her some new clothes and stuff like that. And I enjoy doing it. I love that. I love buying things for my wife. I love it. I love it. I do. I love it. And hey, thanks, Brother Jordan. But here's the thing. Can I tell you this? Seems like every single time that I finish shopping or we go home, I always wish I could have done more. Man, I do. I get dinner and a shirt and all this other stuff, but there's always, I wish I had a little more money. I could have got her this too. I wish I could have got her this too, or I wish I could have bought her this too. And I always wish I could have given her more. I wish I could have given her more. And I hope that I won't face God one day with that same wish. Lord, I wish I had given you more. I wish I had got out of my comfort zone and done what you wanted me to do. I wish that I had been in service faithfully every service. I wish I had told that loved one about you. I wish. I don't want to have that wish. I want to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, I did everything I could to serve you. I did everything I could to follow your will, Lord. I know I failed you, but I tried. Oh, you know the song, "By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, wonderful face. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more, more, so much more, more of his love than I e'er had before. by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Oh, folks, ready to die and face God one day. We need to get on the ball. We need to get back ready. You know, some things, folks, in closing, some things we'll never be ready for. Trials. You can't be ready for trials. Because you know what? They come like that. They surprise you. Trials will take you by surprise. You can't be ready for problems that come into your life. You can't be ready for those things. Our dear pastor and his wife were not ready for what happened today. In this life-shattering instance, these things happen, they take you by surprise, and you can't be ready for that. But God is always ready with open arms. He is, folks. And you know what? Although it may take us by surprise, nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing does. You can't be ready for those things. But we can be ready to go. We can be ready to stay. We can be ready to live. And we can be ready to die. Oh, folks, are you ready? Look down. If you're still in 2 Samuel chapter 15. If you're not, that's fine. I'll read the verses. But 2 Samuel 15. There's a verse that jumped out at me. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 15, our text verse said, "And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." We know that the servants were ready and praise the Lord. But look at verse 19. It says, "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou came but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither, I may return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." David said, there's a guy that was following David, and David said, "Hey, Ittai, you don't have to come. You just came with us yesterday. You don't have to. You can go back to your house. You don't have to stay with me. I know that you got a lot going on back home. You go ahead and stay home." And this is what Ittai said in verse 21 of 2 Samuel 15. "And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." This should be our motto. This should be our creed, our desire to be in the place where God is, whether it's in the fire, whether it's in the flame, or whether it's in the valley, wherever it is, we should want to be where God has us. Oh, Ittai said, "I don't care what's going on back home. I don't care about those things. My king, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to follow you. And I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do." May that be our motto and our desire and our creed. Are you ready? We know the song in the hymn book. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Ask yourself the question tonight, folks. Are you ready? And Lord willing, we can walk out these doors tonight being able to say, "I am ready to serve my King." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around tonight. Folks, are you ready? Are you ready? Ready to go, ready to stay, ready to live, ready to die. How many would say, "Pastor Donald, something in the message tonight touched my heart"? Please raise your hand up. Please raise your hand up. Many hands around the room. Many hands around the room. I see those hands. I'm going to ask you, when this piano begins to play, whatever they're going to play, when you hear the first note of that piano or that organ, please come forward, do business with God. If you don't want to wait for the piano, you don't have to do that either. Come right up. The altar is always open. The altar is always open. Are you ready? Are you ready? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you ready? I'll pray. And when I finish praying, the piano will begin to play. And you come forward. Do business with God. Don't waste any more time. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. I ask you to bless this invitation in your precious and holy name. Amen. Please come forward. Come forward. Let's stand to our feet together. Stand to our feet together. Let's stand together. We'll sing in just a moment, but let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to do business with God, come forward right now. Don't waste any more time. Don't wait. Don't wait. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, the altar's open, folks. The altar's open. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Those who are standing at your seat, I ask you, please pray for those who are praying. Pray for those who are doing business with God.
The altars are open.